Blog Talk Radio.
All right. This is Watchman on the Wall. This is Elder G. Bizarre coming to you from Big Stone Gap, Virginia. I'm breaking it on down into Atlanta, Georgia. Watchman on the Wall on Blog Talk Radio. This is Watchman on the Wall. End Time. Global Link Ministry. I'm on every Sunday at 5 o'clock, and on Wednesday, I'm on at 9 o'clock. This is Elder G. Bizarre. I got some good news. I got some good news for you. Amen. It's been good news ever since. Ever since God created the heaven and earth. And that is, God is alive. God is well. God is everlasting. God is love. God is mercy. God is forgiveness. God is peace. He's everything the opposite of what the devil is. Lucifer. Lucifer ain't nothing but trouble. Trouble all the time. And he started it right there in the garden of, he messed up Adam and Eve. He took their rights and debauched it. They had a right to stay in the Garden of Eden forever. They had the right to make the right choice. They had the right to do everything that God required them to do, but Lucifer came in. And when he came in, his main aim was to eliminate mankind, to destroy mankind, to destroy what God had created, because he already had fell from heaven. You'll find the fall in the book of Isaiah, the 14th chapter. I won't read that. Well, you have to read that for yourself, because I don't want to take up my time, amen, to use it when I could use it for something else. And that is, you read the 14th chapter of Isaiah on your own, and you will find out the greatest fall ever known to angelic beings, to cherubim and seraphim, the greatest fall that ever was or ever will be, is when Lucifer rebelled against God Almighty in the heavenlies. He tried to replace God with himself, and by that, it caused the fall of mankind. Now, Lucifer no longer can go under that identification. The only way that we can really find out who he is, he's the devil, he's the Beelzebub, he's the old serpent, he's the red dragon, he is the wicked one. He is a fallen cherubim angel that rules for the last 6,000 years. Satan has ruled mankind, not the earth now. He's ruling mankind. He's trying to eliminate mankind from the presence of God, because God is the one that created man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostril, and man, M-A-N, became a living soul. And we know the story. We know how God told Adam to name all the animals, and he couldn't find a helpmate, so the Lord put Adam in a deep sleep and took one of his ribs and made woman. Woman. Woman comes from the midsection of man. He put Adam and Eve in the garden. I'll tell you now, I'm going to say it again now, because next time I say it, it ain't going to be like what people want it to be today. It's Adam and Eve in the garden. Now mankind, Lucifer, the fallen angels, are trying to dictate and say it was Adam and Steve. And Adam and Steve was not in the garden. God didn't do that. God had nothing to do with that. It was Lucifer that tried to change the duty of a woman and trying to change the duty of a man. And now living in an age where man is going mad. He has lost his mind. People actually believe that God made Adam and Steve, but God didn't make Adam and Steve. God made Adam and Eve, male, M-A-L-E, and female, F-E-M-A-L-E. There's a difference in between a male and a female. And if men today got it mixed up, they're trying to change the man to the woman and the woman to the man. And God said it's an abomination. And it's the filthiness of the earth. So I want to get that straight now, because a lot of people are trying to justify it and say, well, they can't help it. Oh, that they're trying to live too, but that ain't what God said. And if God didn't say it, I ain't gonna believe it. If God didn't say it, I'm not gonna stand behind it. And he did not make it that way. So what we got? We got Adam and Eve, and now man said, God says, repopulate the earth. So man is repopulating the earth, and he ain't doing that right. He said if a man live long enough and get old enough, leave his mother and father and cleave on to a wife, and they should become one flesh. And they ought to replenish the earth and multiply the earth. In other words, have babies. That's right. Have babies with work. You see what God is doing? He's building a kingdom. Amen. And he's going to build it out of the fallen race. You see, and the devil don't think God, woo-wee. The devil don't think God can save souls, but God is saving souls every day. And every soul that comes in, he's building his kingdom. And he said to Peter, up on this rock, I'm going to build my church. And it's not going to be out of wood. It's not going to be out of paper. It's not going to be out of concrete and cement. Okay? That's a place of worship. That's a place where you go to worship God. But the church, according to the Bible, is what? The body of Christ composed up of born again, redemptive men and women and boys and girls who have been redeemed, what? By the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what he's building the church out of. Because the building is not the church. The church is the body of Christ, which is you. You can't join it. You can't just link up with it and say, well, because I go to church, I'm saved. No, you don't go to church. Amen. To get saved, you go to find out what salvation is all about. And the only way that a man can ever be saved, I'll say it again, the only way that a man can ever be saved is he has to accept the birth, the life, the suffering, the miracles, the burial, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is not trying to be, Jesus Christ not was to be, but Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh. God became flesh, dwelt among men, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. So you are saved by through grace, not we ourselves, lest any man should boast. Jesus said to the disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no woman, no man, no human being can get to God Almighty but by Jesus Christ. Religion can never reach God. Your good looks can never reach God. Your money can't reach God. Your prosperity and your fame and your glory cannot reach God. It's going to take life-giving blood. Life-giving blood. And you know, man can give life to a man that needs blood on the battlefield. A man can give his blood for that man that's losing blood, and that blood that comes from that man can save that man's life on the battlefield. Physically, not spiritually. No man blood is that powerful to save a man's soul. Oh, I say it again. No man blood is that powerful to save a man's soul. In the Old Testament, God used animal blood to typify types and shadow of the blood sacrifice that would come later on in the annals of time. It took 4,000 years for man to try to learn that it was necessary that blood had to be shed in order for the remission of sin. And the only blood that was adequate for God Almighty in the Old Testament was the animal blood. It was a type and shadow. It was a place in which it was a demonstrating that there has to be another greater sacrifice, a great sacrifice, no greater love that God has, that he would lay down his own son's life, and through that Son's life, his death, his burial, and resurrection, he is able to give eternal life to those that believe on his name. Whoever confess and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever confess not shall be damned. So there has to be a unique, extravagant, powerful blood system to save mankind. And the only one that had that blood system and could make that blood system is God himself. Uh-oh. God himself had to have his own blood system, his own body, and his own time to come to this earth. Listen to me what I'm saying. Jesus Christ came to this earth. And who was Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ was God Almighty, and God became a man. When he became a man, he looked like a man, walked like a man, talked like a man. Woo, he was man. And God was in that man. And that man's name was Jesus Christ. God became flesh. And when I became flesh, he had the anatomy of a man. He had everything that a man had. He had everything that you got. Why? Because he was made in the image and the likeness of God. And so he became flesh so that he could taste death. Woo, for every man. He died for every man on the planet. Oh, my God. I can't gasp this, because so many people today believe that they can go to heaven and that they can be saved off of their own ingenuity and off their own religion and off their own technology and off their own ideology and off their own theological viewpoint. And no man can save himself. No man had the power enough to die on his own and get up out of the grave on his own and ascend into them. No man had that kind of power. And the Bible says, what is man that thou shalt be mindful of him, or the son of man that thou shalt visit him? He's made a little lord and an angel and crowned with glory. But now we see another man, Jesus Christ, made a little lord and an angel. And he was crowned with glory. He knew no sin. He didn't know nothing about sin. But he became a sin offering for the sins of the world. And sin is the trespass against God's law is a sin. It's a sin and a shame. People don't understand what sin is, but yet still they sin. Sin, if a man know to do good and does it not, to him it is a sin. If a man says he don't sin, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. Oh, my God, my God. There's omission of sin. There's commission of sin. There's willful sin. There's sins that people do that they think they can hide it, secret sins. So sin, sin, sin. Why we have to deal with sin? Because of Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve sinned, man fell under the bondage of sin. Because when sin, when they fell in the Garden of Eden, Satan said, I got him now. I got him. I got him. I got him. And I'm going to take the human race and I'm going to tear up this world. And he done had 6,000 years of ruling man. And guess what? He done made a mess out of it. My friends, don't you know this world is in a mess, on top of a mess, and more mess is coming because of sin? Don't you know why people kill and rob and steal? You know why people are coming homosexuals and heterosexuals and sodomites? Because of sin. When you disobey God's moral law, spiritual law, and judicial law, you sin against God. Don't you know evil thoughts is sin? Don't you know hating people is sin? Don't you know lying is sin? Don't you know fornication is sin? So you're in sin. So why? How can I escape this? Because the wages of sin is death. Don't you know if you die? Listen to me very carefully. Don't you know if you die without Jesus Christ that you will die and go to hell? Don't you know that you are born in sin, shaped in iniquity? Did your mother conceive you? Don't you know there's no person on this earth better than another person? I don't care how rich you are, how poor you are, how much education you got, how much money you got, how many friends you got. No person on this earth is no higher than any other person. Because when God made man, he didn't make no big shot. He didn't make nobody to be over nobody. He made man to be in his image and after his likeness, and that man would love one another, and man would take care of God's business in what? In taking the world and letting the world know that there's a way that you can be delivered from sin, death, hell, and the grave. Don't you know the church business and the church job is to win souls to Christ? The number one thing is that the church is supposed to win souls to Christ through the cross. If there's no cross, there's no soul saving. If there's no cross, there's nothing but hell itself. Don't you know the church's job is to counsel people and talk to people and encourage people and let the people know that there's only one way to heaven? Don't you know it's your job to tell the church folks just because you're a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a Catholic, that's not going to get you to heaven? No. A name of a denomination can't get you to heaven. Don't you know the church need to tell the world, and preachers today need to tell the world, that if Jesus Christ be lifted up, he said, I'll draw all men unto me. And you know something? He don't have two liftings, and the first lifting is when they lift him up on Calvary's mountain between earth and heaven. That was the first lifting. And he said, if I don't be lifted up on Mount Calvary, I cannot draw all men unto me. And he has been lifted up on Calvary's cross. And when he was lifted up on Calvary's cross, he stayed on the cross for what? Six long hours. And they crucified him. They nailed him. They nailed him like a piece of meat hanging. They whipped him on the back. They took the crown of thorns and platted on his head. They took the nails and put through his hand and his feet and pierced his side. They mocked him. They embarrassed him. They mutilated him. They made the world think that he was nothing at all, that he was a waste of time. But they didn't know who they were dealing with. They were dealing with God Almighty in the flesh. God presented his own son himself on Calvary's cross for the sins of the world, that man would have to die and go to hell because of Lucifer, because of sin. And now we're living in the last days, and these last days is not like any other days in human history. These days are worse than the days of Noah. And Jesus Christ already gave us an example. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. And let me tell you, the world is in the same shape. Listen to me. The world is in the same shape as it was in the days of Noah. We're seeing a duplicate 21st century. How Satan is trying to do the same thing like he did the flood of Noah. Satan said, if I can people to be wicked and do my bidding, I'm going to destroy them all. I'm going to destroy the world. And God almost, good God Almighty, he almost had to eliminate every human being on the planet in order to save humanity from total destruction. Out of all the people doing in Noah's day, and there was a lot of people on the planet in Noah's day, because back in those days, men lived a long time. They lived like 300 years, 400 years, 500 years. 600 years, 700 years, 800 years, 900 years. Longest man that lived in the Bible was called Methuselah. He lived 969 years. He almost lived a whole millennium. So men was populating the earth. Oh, my God. They was repopulating the earth. They was having babies on top of babies. And that's what God wanted legally. But what happened? what happened, that he had to destroy almost the whole world by water the first time, was the only people that he found on the planet. Y'all ain't listening to me. Listen, the only people he could find on the planet that were worthy to escape the flood. Listen to me. Listen, this is serious. This ain't no plaything. This is real. God found grace in the eyesight of Noah and his family, a family of eight people. Eight people, people out of billions of people that was on the earth, but they had came corrupt and abominable before God. And the reason, one reason they became corrupt, because there was a fallen angels called watchers. Watchers. They were called the sons of God. And they came down from heaven. And when they came down from heaven, they were going to do some bidding for Lucifer. They were going to do some bidding for Lucifer to do what? They were going to try, number one, to corrupt the whole human race. And one, the second reason was to corrupt the whole human race. Listen to me. Satan said, no, I'm going to stop this thing. He tried to corrupt the whole human race, the promised seed from coming. He was trying to corrupt the whole human race, and only eight escaped the flood. Noah, his wife, his two daughters, his three sons married, had three daughter-in-laws, and they was the only one to preserve the human family. All the families of the earth came from Ham, Shem, and Japheth. All the nationalities and kindreds and kinds and people came from Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Japheth, you got your Caucasian nations. Oh, listen to me now. Ham, you got the dark-skinned nations. And Shem, you got the Hebrew nation. So you got over 70 nations out of the family of Noah through Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And these families of the earth have descended down to this present time, 2021. We got all kinds of nationalities of people on the planet, and they belong to God. But Satan says, I'm going to destroy all of them, and he's not going to do it. Yes, I know he's got the majority of the world confused. The devil got majority of the people non-believers. We got people here don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe in nothing. We got people in here that want to try to go to heaven on their own strength. We got people here that don't believe in nothing in the Word of God. There's some people here hate church. Some people here hate the blood of Jesus Christ. They deny the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't want nothing to do with the blood of Jesus Christ. Some people don't believe he died and rose again. Some people don't believe that he can even come back again. But I got news for you. Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. He has to. Not only do he has to, but he said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you, and if I go away, I will absolutely come back again and receive you into myself. And you know something? Good God Almighty, the church is almost ready to be received in the air. The church is almost out of here. The rapture of the church is right on our heels. We ain't got too much time to play around. We ain't got too much time to play hanky-panky and Dr. Doolittle and whatever you want to play. You ain't got time for that. We ain't got time to be half-stepping. We ain't got time to not be preaching the whole unadulterated word of God. And you got to preach it from Genesis to Revelation. And what's wrong with the world today is the preachers. The preachers is not preaching the whole thing. The best thing that you can preach is that Jesus Christ died and rose again. That's a high thing in the Bible. That's the utopia of the Bible, that Jesus Christ died and rose again. He came up out the grave on his own power, and now he's able to sanctify your soul and cleanse you up. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. No, you got to be born again. just like Nicodemus. Jesus said, ye must be born again. And Nicodemus said, man, what you talking about? I'm old. I'm getting old. I'm already old. Can I go into my mother's womb and come out again to be born again? And Jesus said, verily I say to you, you must be born of the water and of the spirit, or you cannot. You cannot, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. You must be born again of the Spirit of God. What is flesh, and what is spirit. Ye must be born again. Now, this is Nicodemus, a rabbi. He knew all the laws and all the rituals and all the temple worshiping and all this. He knew all about that, but he never heard a teacher like Jesus come and tell him, ye must be born again. And if he told Nicodemus, he's telling every human being up on this planet, ye must be born again before you can ever enter the kingdom of God. You can't work yourself in there. You can't dilly-dally yourself in there. You can't go play bingo and think you're going to get in there. You can't do nothing but repent. Except you repent, you shall likewise perish. And people today are perishing. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They're perishing. They're perishing because, number one, they're perishing because they won't repent. They won't turn to the living God. They won't turn from their sin. They won't turn from their lifestyle. They won't turn for nothing. And there's a lot of people think because they don't sin a lot, or they're not bad sinners. So, but let me tell you, a sinner is a sinner. I don't care who you are. You ain't bad or you ain't good. You're just a sinner. And no sin, no sin nowhere will ever, ever through eternity will ever enter into the kingdom of God. Never. Do you understand what I'm saying? A lot of people say, well, I'm good. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't lie. I don't steal. I don't do none of those things. That's good that you don't do it. But you're still a sinner. Oh, I'm a good person. Ain't nobody good. Jesus said, don't call me good. There's only one good, and that's God. So ain't nobody on this planet good. The only one good is God. That's why we say God is good. Every time you testify, God is good. God is good. But man ain't good. Man is crooked. Man is wicked. Man is self-righteous. Man don't have nothing to offer you. The only one have anything to offer you for eternity is the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My friend, we are in a dilemma right now. This world is getting ready. This world is in such a shape right now. People are uncomfortable. People are living in fear. People don't know what to do. How long can we live any longer up on the planet? Diseases and viruses taking over. People killing and murdering. People hating each other. People lying on each other. People talking about each other. They're just doing all kinds of things against the will of God. And God didn't intend it for us to live like this. And we're living the way we feel like. But the Bible said righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. My friend, we're in that last days. We're in that last day. And I'm saying that because we're going to get into our lesson, but I had to break that down to you to let you know. Amen. Except a man be born again, he cannot see God. He cannot live with God. He can't do it. No sin will ever enter heaven. I'll go over that again. No sin will ever enter heaven. So the only way that I can become sinless is, number one, first, I got to receive Christ. I got to receive Christ in my life. I got to want Christ in my life. I got to confess Christ in my life. I got to repent of my sins and turn from my own way, my own way, my way of thinking. I got to humble myself before the throne of God and bow down at the foot of the cross and admit that I am a sinner. And then when you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. And when you're saved, you're saved. You ain't half saved. You ain't saved for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. No, you saved forever. Because he brought eternal salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people going to church, been going for years. You hear what I said? A lot of people go to church, but they never have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I say that again. A lot of people go to church. There's a lot of people going to end up in hell, not because they didn't go to church, but they went to church, but they never confessed Christ with their mouth and believe with their heart that God raised them from the dead, and now you become a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, everything is new. You got the same old spirit you had when you was young and don't grow old with it, and you think because you've been baptized and been in the church, sung in the choir, been on the youth, well, all, you've done all that, but you have never accepted Christ. A lot of good moral people going to miss heaven. And the reason why, because they never repented of their sins. They never have been redeemed by the blood. They never confessed it. They're going through the motions. They're going through the ideas that they have seen for years. But what I'm trying to say, make sure, make very sure, make sure on top of sure that before you leave here, before you leave this planet, make sure the first priority in your life is you should make sure that you are saved. S-A-V-E-D, not safe, but saved by the blood of Christ. Nothing but the blood. And if you saved, guess what? And you sanctified, guess what? You are going to claim the blood of Christ. You are going to claim the birth and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You are going to what? You are going to be a witness and say, I know that he died for me. I know he was whipped beyond recognition for me. I know that he went down in the grave for me. I know he got up on the third day morning for me. And I'm going to proclaim it to the world. I'm going to let the world, I know who Jesus Christ is. He's a self-existent one, God Almighty in the flesh. And when he comes back, he's coming back in a glorified body. He's coming back in a unique body. He's coming back, amen, in a, oh my God, that same body that came up out of the grave, he's coming back in power and in great glory. In order to live with Christ, you're going to have a what? You're going to have a glorified body. Did I say that right? You are going to have a glorified body before you can ever be caught up in the rapture. Uh-oh, you got to have a glorified body just like Christ to be caught up in the rapture. The rapture is catching away, the translation of the church from earth to heaven. That's the rapture. It is in the Bible. Not the word rapture. It's called caught up. Caught up in Latin means rapture. In other words, it's the same word, but it's the same word with the same meaning, but different word. So Enoch was raptured up. Not only Enoch was raptured up, but Elijah was raptured up. Isaiah was caught up at the throne of God. Jesus Christ was raptured up on the top of Mount of Olives. The church will be raptured up. Pretty soon, the church will be gone. G-O-N-E, gone, in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. the church will be changed from the mortal body, from this flesh and blood that's running through my veins, because flesh and blood will never inherit the kingdom of God. I can't go to heaven like this right now. As bad as I want to go to heaven, I can't go in this body. This body has sin in it. This body has all kinds of little quirks in it. And if it wasn't for the grace of God by the Holy Spirit, amen, to guide me and give me power over the power of sin, death, and the grave, I would be out there in the streets. But the power of God lives in me, talks with me. It keeps me from evil. It keeps me from going wrong. Can't go wrong. Why? Because I'm following Jesus by the Holy Spirit. So if I want to go to heaven, number one, I got to be born again of the Spirit of God. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So now, if I'm saved, which when I'm saying I'm saved, that means I'm sanctified. Sanctified means to be set apart from sin. The only thing that can set apart you from sin is the blood. If you haven't been born again, washed in the blood, you ain't sanctified. So sanctified means to be set apart for the use and for the service of God Almighty, because the Spirit walks within you, talk within you, give you power to love one another, give you power to have joy, give you power to rejoice in God, give you power to go through trials and tribulation. The Holy Spirit gives you that power that no other power can give you to take this journey. You got to have the Holy Spirit to live in a sin-sick world and keep yourself spotless before God every day. Every day. And if you see a spot, or you feel a spot, or you think a spot, Lord, rebuke it by the blood of Jesus, because that's the only thing can wash you and make you clean. The pastor can't do it. The Pope can't do it. No preacher can do it. No bishop can do it. No cardinal can do it. No education can do it. Your fame and glory can't do it. No! 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 You name anybody, they can't do it. So what I'm saying is, when you receive salvation, that sanctifies your soul and your spirit. Your spirit and your soul is before God Almighty, because he don't see you. He see his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ cleansed you from what? All sin. All sin is cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. When he cleansed your soul, that means you got power to keep this fleshly body under your subjection. In other words, you're able to tell flesh, get back. Evil thoughts, get back. Fornication, get back. Lying, get back. Backbiting, get back. Why? The Holy Spirit rules you. And the Holy Spirit says, love you one another. The Holy Spirit says, forgive one another. And if you got the power of God in you, then you can forgive anybody that mistreats you. Because what? Christ forgave you of your trash, of your cobwebs and spiders and water bugs and all that stuff that you've been carrying around. The flesh has no control of you. So when you got that Holy Ghost in you, amen, that Holy Ghost walk with you, talk with you, amen, it nourishes you, comforts you, it gives you peace, amen, it gives you desire to keep on going when you don't want to go. Lord, have mercy, amen. It'll give you that power not to look back, because I got a job to do. I got to run on anyhow. So, if I want to go to heaven, number one, be born again, saved, sanctified, and filled with the love of God. All right. Number two, I cannot go to heaven in this body. I can't. I cannot go in God's presence right now as much as I want to. I cannot go in God's presence right now at all in this body. This body cannot take Almighty God. That's nothing but holiness and righteousness. I've got to have this body change. And what I mean, change. The Bible tells us in the 15th chapter listen what Apostle Paul says. Paul says in 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now this is where the only way I can get to heaven after I've been born again, after I've accepted Jesus Christ, same way with you. This is the only way we can get there. Listen here. Apostle Paul says in the 15th chapter, the 50th verse says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood," that's my body now, flesh and blood, "cannot inherit the kingdom of God." So this flesh and this blood in my body cannot inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, I cannot walk on the streets of gold. I cannot walk in the presence of God. I cannot see the walls with jasper stones. I cannot come in God's presence in this carnal body. And since I can't come, I can't go nowhere yet until, listen what it says. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed." This change is from what? Listen what it says. This is scripture now. This ain't me thinking this up. It says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible." Incorruptible. "And we shall be changed. For this corruptible," this is my body, flesh and blood, muscles, "must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality." In other words, I'm a mortal being now. I'm a mortal being. And by me being a child of God, born again, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, have the Holy Ghost got me. The Holy Ghost is God Almighty. That's him. That's who he is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God Almighty in the Spirit. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Jesus Christ said, "I'm going away, and after I go away, I'm going to send you some power," which is the Holy Ghost. That's God's Spirit. "And y'all go back down to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, and you shall be endued with power to be what? A witness for me. I want you to witness to the world. I want you to tell the world not how to get rich. I want you to tell the world how to receive salvation only through Jesus Christ." That's the church's job. Preach Jesus Christ, him saved and crucified. Christ said, Paul said, "I don't preach nothing else but save Jesus and him crucified. I ain't preaching about no jet plane. I ain't preaching about how much money you can send me. I ain't preaching about how many houses I got and cars I got. I ain't preaching that. You're wasting your time preaching that, because that won't bring salvation. I'm not telling you about how much education I got, or how many degrees I got, or how many schools I done went to, or how many times I done something that I know. That ain't gonna do nothing. So in order to get that stuff out of you, you've got to be born again in order to be what God requires you to be. And then you're going to have to wrestle against that. Paul said, "When I wanted to do good, I couldn't. Evil was always present. I didn't know how to perform that which was good." And then he come down and broke it down and said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of flesh?" So you say you want to go to heaven? All right. Number one, I'll go again, born again. Number two, in a moment of the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. I have a what? A spiritual body. And this mortal must put on immortality. Immortality means a spiritual body. So when this corruptible have put on incorruption, can't corrupt no more, the body will never be corrupted no more when Christ comes. When Christ comes, he's going to change this vile body into a body like him, which is an immortality body that don't have flesh and blood. It's a spiritual body. It's a body that will never grow old. It's a body that will be super, more than super. It will be a body like Jesus Christ. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall we be brought to pass, saying that is written, death, good God Almighty, is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is law. To be God, which give us the victory through our Lord. Wait a minute. We got the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unremovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Now, if you in church and the rapture come and you say you out of here, if you driving down the road and you say you out of here, if you at your home, if you out there on the park, if you playing on baseball on the diamond, if you with your family, wherever you at, amen, amen. When the trump blow, this mortal body will be changed into immortality. And you will be caught up. Who's going to be caught up? People from around the world, 25,000 miles in circumference. The world is three-fourths land. The world is three-fourths water and one-fourth land. There's more water than land. And so every continent, every state, every town, every village, woo, all those that know Jesus Christ and the pardon of their sins have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and looking for his coming. Even there's some Christians today ain't even looking for him to come, but they're Christians. You can be a Christian and not know the word of God or not know what God have for you to do. You don't even know what the Bible says about the future, as we say in prophecy. Because prophecy gives you all the information exactly what's going to happen before Jesus Christ comes back to this earth. Let me tell you, there is a rapture, and it's not the middle of the tribulation, and it's not at the end of the tribulation. It's before the tribulation can even start. The tribulation cannot start. The Antichrist cannot come until the body of Christ is removed from the planet. So your loved ones, if you got saved folks in your family, and your brother's not saved, and you saved, your mama's saved, and you're not saved, God is going to take those that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and those that don't know Jesus Christ and the pardon of their sin, they're going to be left here on the planet. You hear what I said? You're going to be left here on the planet. And when I say planet, I mean this planet. There's over 7.1 billion people on the planet today. There are people in Africa that know Jesus Christ. There are people in South America that know Jesus Christ. There are people in the United States that know Jesus Christ. There's people in Alaska that know Jesus Christ. There's people on every continent right now that knows Jesus Christ in the pardon of their sin. And when the rapture of the church occurs, God is going to remove every saint on every continent that is saved by his grace, by his love, by his joy, by his suffering, on Calvary's cross will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we shall meet, we shall meet, the Bible said, we shall meet him in the air and in the clouds. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about we're going to meet him. He's not coming to earth at the rapture. We're going to meet him. Well, preacher, where are we going? We're going to meet Jesus at what? The judgment seat of what? Christ, the bema seat of Christ. Every born-again believer will be at the judgment seat of Christ. Woo, look up here. Look up here. Well, how about a church member? No, I won't be there being saved. Whether you black or white, if you ain't saved, you're going to be left here on the planet. And when the rapture occurs, there's five instances to prove you there's going to be a rapture. Enoch was raptured. Elijah was raptured. Isaiah was caught up. Philip talked to the Ethiopian. He was caught up, but he came back down and preached the gospel to the Ethiopian. And then Jesus Christ came down, died, suffered on Calvary's cross, went back to heaven. He was raptured up on Mount of Olives, told his disciples, I'm going away now. If I go away, I'll come again. When I come, I'm coming to get what? I'm coming to get my church. I'm coming to get the body of Christ. I'm going to get all nationalities. I'm going to get all those that know me and are pardoned of their sin, that confess me with their mouth and believe. I'm going to take them all. I'm going to take everyone that's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there we're going to stand before the judgment of Christ, and we are going to be judged. The saints of God, the saints of God will be judged by God, his son, Jesus Christ. The deed that was done in his body, whether it be good or whether it be evil or bad. Everything that the Christian done while they were here on this earth is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what you call the judgment seat of Christ, because there's another judgment at the end of the millennium reign called the Great White Throne. The Great White Throne. Let's get that. Let's get that and read that for you. And you can read it later on if you want to. But this is the Great White Throne. At the end of the millennium reign, in the 20th verse of the book of Revelation, this is the end of the millennium reign. It says 20 and 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no more place for them. Now, this judgment is the judgment of all the wicked dead from Adam all the way over at the end of the millennium reign. I'll get that again. This great white throne is the judgment of all the wicked dead will be resurrected and brought before the great white throne. This is it. This is the final judgment of the wicked dead. Now listen, the 12th verse says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Not according to their salvation, because they don't have no salvation. They rejected salvation. They cursed salvation. They denied salvation. They didn't believe in salvation. But they're going to be judged for their works, what they've done. Because anything that's done without Christ or through Christ is no good. So these people rejected Christ, and by them rejecting Christ, God is going to judge their works. And the sea gave up the dead. So everybody coming out of the planet, they're coming out of the sea, the oceans, coming out of the graveyard that people don't know where they're at. They're going to get up out of their graves. And they're going to stand before the great white throne at the end of the millennium reign. And the church at this time, woo, will be in heaven looking at this. Because the Bible said, don't you know the saints are going to judge the world? We're going to judge the world with Christ. We're going to be with Christ. We are going to sing hallelujah with Christ. We're going to see everything that we can't see now. All the saints of God are going to see and be at the great white throne. And we're going to see multitude and multitudes of wicked people who live down from the Garden of Eden all the way across seven millenniums, because there's going to be seven millennium upon this earth. The sixth millennium is man's time. The seventh millennium is God's time. God is going to rule this world from Jerusalem during the millennium reign of Jesus Christ. And the church will rule and reign with him. That's what I got forward to looking forward to. Ooh, hallelujah. This old world is not my home. I'm just passing through trials and tribulations and pitfalls. Been around the mountain, down in the valley, on the side of the mountain. But one day soon, very soon, the dead in Christ will rise. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And we will rule and reign with him. But listen to what Revelation says. Listen to what it says in the 20th chapter. It says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his word. Now, this is Bible, B-I-B-L-E. It's in there. It's right in front of my face. It's telling me the dead, death and hell will be delivered up, and every man will be a judge according to his works. 14th verse says, and death and hell was cast into what? The lake of fire. Wow. Unbelievable. Astronomical. Wicked people. People who cuss God. People who lied on God. People who denied the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. People who laughed at him. People who died, denied him. People who plundered and tried to change the word of God, and those that tried to trash the word of God are going to be standing before the great white throne. Feast on that. Think about that. You don't want to be in that. You don't want to be in the second resurrection, because the second resurrection don't have no power. And so, the book of Revelation says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into a lake of fire, which is Gehenna. Gehenna is a lake of fire. When a person dies, they go to hell. Hell is not the lake of fire. Hell is a waiting room for the wicked dead until the final judgment comes. Paradise used to be in the bowels of the earth at one time. Jesus Christ hung on Calvary's cross, and the thief said, Lord, remember me. And Jesus said, from this day onward, you shall be with me in paradise. So paradise before the resurrection of Jesus Christ was in the heart of the earth, in the lower parts of the earth, because man could not approach God. Listen to me. Man could not approach God until after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because now Christ paid the penalty for the sins of the world of the Old Testament saints. And since he done paid the penalty for the Old Testament saints and washed them and made them white in the snow, the paradise was moved from the bowels of the earth into the presence of God. Because now Paul said, he said, I went to the third heaven. And when I went to the third heaven, I saw some things that was unlawful for me to even utter. the Old Testament after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, got up out of that grave and walked through the streets of Jerusalem just like John did. And they tell me from that point on, Christ took him to paradise, which now is in the presence of God Almighty. So when a saint dies now, that soul goes to paradise right there in the presence of God now. The reason why? It's because the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed that soul so pure, whiter than snow. Perfect. Perfectly saved. Perfectly holy. Perfectly righteous. Why? Because God can make you perfect when the final blow comes. When that body, when you get that brand new body that Christ has for you, you're going to be perfectly, woo, just like Christ. You're going to be like Jesus Christ. You're going to have the attributes of Jesus Christ. You're going to have a body like Jesus Christ forevermore. Never, never, never grow old again. Never have gray hair. Never have a crooked back. Never have a bad knee. You will be perfect and you will have perfect health throughout eternity. No more doctors. No more hospitals. No more prisons. No more racial strife, no more killing, no more rape, no more child pornography, no more homosexuals. No, oh my God, no more. No more. Won't even be mentioned. Anything that's devastating and debauchery won't even be mentioned in heaven. It will be wiped out completely. But in hell, it will be miserable. Pretty people can go to hell. Ugly people can go to hell. Black people can go to hell. White people can go to hell. Chinese, Jews can go to hell. They're going to hell not because God put them in there. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how much God loves the world. He gave his son. He gave his son up. And there's no way, no how, God got another son, because God is God and God is the son. And nobody can take God's place. That's why the Bible says in Acts 4:12, for there is no other name given among men whereby he can be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the ultimate sacrifice for the human race. And the human race is saying, I don't want it. So where we at? My friends, we're in the last days. How close are we? How close are we? A lot of people say, well, we got about 10 years. No. We got less than that. And I'm going to show you in this next chapter that I'm going to read. I'm going to show you how much time we got left. Time is so short that I ain't got time enough to even stop preaching. I should be preaching 24/7, but I can't do that. I ain't got the strength to do that. But I'll preach much as I can to let somebody know our time is short. It's running out. And we know in the book of Revelation, there's 22 chapters. 22 chapters in Revelation. And the only way we can get into it is you got to realize how close we are. How close we are? Revelation, the book of Revelation covers 3,007 years. Now, what you talking about? How did it cover 2,007 years? The book of Revelation is written by God, given to Jesus Christ, his son, gives it to the angel. The angels give it to the seven churches, and the seven churches is supposed to give it to the world. And this is what the world, this is what the church is not giving the world. The church is not giving the world Revelation. The preachers are not preaching Revelation. And don't get me wrong. You got to go to Genesis to understand a lot of Revelation. So you got to preach the whole Bible, including Revelation. It means the unrevealing of Jesus Christ. Christ will not be revealed to the world until the 7-year tribulation is fulfilled. The tribulation period is almost here. It's almost here. It's right at your doorstep. It's closer than the skin on your body. It's closer than the blood running warm through your veins. It's closer than your wife or your mother or your sister or your daughter or your cousin or your first cousin. It's so close that people got stigmatism and can't see what's going on in the world today, what's going on in Jerusalem, what's going on with the church, what's going on with the political world. We're so close that pretty soon a catastrophe is going to hit this planet. And it ain't going to be no picnic. It ain't going to be no coronavirus. It ain't going to be no disease. It's going to be the absentee of body of Christ that when Christ raptures the church is going to cause a chaotic condition of the world. Now, what I want to let you know, Revelation covers 3,007 years. And I'm going to break that down for you. The first three chapters, listen to me now. The first three chapters covers the period of the church age. The church age covers the period of 2,000 years. We're in the 2,000 years now. We're in the last generation. The last generation, the Bible said that the church will be so bad that you can't even tell church folks from a saint of God, because there's a difference between a church folks than a saint of God. A saint of God lives according to the Holy Spirit and by faith. The Holy Ghost-filled, baptized believer is on fire for God. And if he ain't, he should be on fire for God right now. Holy Ghost-filled person is not slothful and what? Looking and hoping for the return of Jesus Christ. The saint of God that's filled with the Holy Ghost is looking and hoping and trying to tell everybody, get ready. Because Jesus Christ is getting ready to remove his body. His body is not going to suffer through the tribulation period. Number two, the tribulation period was basically for the Jewish people. You hear what I said? Now, we're talking about 3,007 years. The first 2,000 years is the church age. What kind of condition that the church would be in at the end time? All right, let's see it. We're going to show you what condition the church would be in just before Christ comes. This is what the Laodicea church age is saying. Folks are saying today. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. This is the hypocritical, humanist, backbiting church that has no power to understand what Jesus is talking about right here. He said, I will spew you out of my mouth. In other words, the way you're living and the way you're thinking and the way you're doing stuff, he said, you are making me sick. You got me, Jesus said, you got me so sick, I got to regurgitate you out of my mouth. And that means that you are half-stepping, half-living. You're doing everything you want to do. You're cussing, you're lying, you're cheating, you're stealing, you're backbiting, you're whoremongering. You're going into homosexuality. You're going into lesbianism. You're going into sodomite. You're using pornography, you're using everything, and then you come around and go to church at the same time talking about you know the Lord. You don't know no Lord. You're a lukewarm church. You have a form of godliness, but you ain't got no power. Listen to what they're saying. Listen to what this church is saying to about itself. Because thou says, I am rich and increased with goods. I have need of nothing and know it not. That thou art what? This is what Jesus said. Knowest not thou art wretched, you're miserable and poor and blind and naked. There's five things there that tells you you plan a hypocrite. You are a humanist. You are a deist. You are agnostic. You are having a form of godliness and don't have a single idea what the Holy Ghost is and what the Spirit of God is and what the resurrection is all about. You just have a whole lot of talk and you got a whole lot of walk, but you don't have no what? Holy Ghost filled salvation shed in the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the condition at the end time church. End time church is the last church on the planet. There has been seven church ages. Ephesus, number one. Smyrna, number two. Pergamos, number three. Thyatira, number four. Sardis, number five. Philadelphia, number six. Laodicea, number seven. The end of the church age. You got that? The end of the church age in Laodicea. Look at the condition of our churches. Look at the condition of some of our ministers. Look at the condition of some of our teachings. Look at the condition of some of our so-called saints of God doing behind their own back, let's own somebody else's back. And the Bible says in that day, that many shall come in my name saying, Lord, 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 have not we prophesied in thy name? Have we not fell out on the stage? Have not we jumped and shout? Did we do wonderful miracles? Did you see what we done? Oh, did we do some extravagant things? And Jesus will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't even know you. You are a lion. You are a hypocrite. You don't know me. You're not carrying my righteousness. You're not carrying my name. You're not claiming my blood. You're not claiming my birth, death, and resurrection. You ain't claiming my power that I have to change your life. You ain't claiming nothing but your self-egotistic ego. Now, that's Revelation now. That's the first three chapters. And the first three chapters in the book of Revelation carries and covers 2,000 years. 2,000 years. After the third chapter, listen to me. After the third chapter in the book of Revelation, you will find the fourth chapter. And the fourth chapter says this. After this, after what? After the church age. Because when the rapture comes, that's going to be after the church age. The church age will be gone. No more church age. No more church. Church is gone. Wait. What do you mean no more church? Oh, yeah, there'll be more church, but it'll be in heaven. Because the church, the body of Christ, the redeemed one, will be in heaven. That's where the church is going to be during the tribulation period. You got that? The tribulation period, it consists of 7 years that God is going to judge Israel, and at the same time, he's going to judge the world. He's going to judge the Gentile nation. But this 7 years is promised by God Almighty that he would deal with the Jews for 490 years back in the book of Daniel. He would deal with them for 490 years. The 483 years has been fulfilled. You got me? The 483 years have been fulfilled, and it will fulfill the day that Jesus Christ rode through Jerusalem on the coat of an ass, and the next week, he was crucified. And when he was crucified, God cut the Jews off 7 years short that he only dealt with them for 483 years. Well, if he dealt with them 483 years and he promised them 490 years, he owed them seven more years to deal with them. And since he haven't dealt with them, the only way he can deal with them, the church has to be removed from the planet so God can deal with the Jewish people. Because the Jews are going to be the last nation. And it was the first nation that was supposed to exemplify the power of God and be a representative for God and to bring the Messiah into the world and to write the Holy Bible. They did that pretty good, but they didn't keep it up. They dropped off and denied that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And so the Lord said, you cut me off, I'll cut you off. But since I owe you 490 years, I got to come back to you and deal with you during the tribulation period. So the church in Israel will not be on this earth at the same time. The body of Christ is removed in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. And after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. The door is the gateway for the church to enter into the glories of God. And the first voice which I heard, as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, I will show you these things, which must be hereafter. Hereafter what? After the church is gone, this is what's coming after the church is gone. Thank you, Jesus. After the church is removed from the planet, this is what's coming on the earth after the rapture. After the rapture, the Antichrist will come. That will start the seven-year tribulation. This is the 7 years in which God will deal with the Jews in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, it is the last 7 years that God is going to do a short work week of judgment upon the planet. Number two verse says, immediately, right now, twinkling of an eye, I was in the spirit. And while he was in the spirit, he said, behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. That's the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. The church is headed for the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. That's where I'm headed this afternoon. Maybe. I don't know. But the judgment will happen in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, and then the Antichrist will rise. The Antichrist will rise while the church is in heaven being judged. After we see the throne of God, after we see the 24 elders, after we see the beast that will saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That's where we're going to be. That's where the church is going to be. And we're going to be judged for our works, whether it be good or evil. We're not going to be judged for our salvation because we're already saved. We already have received Christ. And all those that haven't received Christ right now, when the rapture of the church comes, if they have not been born again, they will stay right here on this earth and have to face the Antichrist. To make a long story short, the fourth verse gives us the judgment seat of Christ. The fifth chapter of Revelation, we see an angel, and in his right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. This is the seventh seal that will be opened in heaven. When the church is in heaven, we will see and be there to open, see Jesus Christ open the seven seals. To make a long story short, you have to read this for yourself. I don't have time to read all this, but you read this for yourself, and you see that somebody had to proclaim to open the book. Nobody was able to open the book. Nobody. Listen to what it said. And I wept much because no man was found. This is the fifth chapter, the fourth verse. No one was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereupon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the lion out of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. Nobody in heaven, nobody underneath the earth, nobody in the earth was worthy to open the book and to break the seven seals. At this time, the church is in heaven. In the fifth chapter, the church is in heaven. And we couldn't find nobody until one of the elders said, weep not, John, for I have found, behold, a lion out of the tribe of Judah, The root of David has rebelled to open the book and to loose the seven seals. The seven seals is the seven seals that's mentioned in the sixth chapter of Revelation. In the sixth chapter, the church is still in heaven. In the sixth chapter, Jesus takes it out of his own hand and breaks the seal. And when he breaks the seal, the Bible says, I saw when the Lamb opened the seals, and I heard as it was a noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth to conquering and to conquer. This is the first seal that Jesus Christ opens as he sits on the throne. And when he opened the first seal, the white horse comes out. And that means the white horse represent the Antichrist that will stand up on the earth when he opens this seventh seal. And he will, what? Have a bow in his hand. And this bow represents diplomacy. He will come on a peace platform. He will write up a covenant. He will tell the Jews, listen, he will tell the Jews that they will have permission. Oh, my God, listen. He will tell the Jews and sign a covenant with the Jewish people and giving them permission to do what? To build a temple. To build a temple. This is what the Antichrist is going to give the Jews, permission to build a temple. At this time, the church is in heaven. If the church is in heaven, then that means that we are going to be a witness to what's going on here on earth. So when the Antichrist comes, he comes on the peace platform. And now the world is looking for a peace covenant. They're looking for to find peace. We don't have 45 presidents over the period from 1776 and 2021. We don't have presidents. We don't have seers. We don't have kings and priests and everybody. And nobody is able to find no peace because there's no peace to the wicked. And whenever a government is under influence of the devil, Beelzebub, the red dragon, there is not going to be no peace because there's only one that has the power to bring peace on this earth. Nobody can bring peace on this earth but Jesus Christ, and he's going to do it after the tribulation period. Listen what it said. I saw the Lamb and heard and thunder. And one of the four beasts says, I saw a white horse. The Antichrist today is alive. You hear what I said? I said, the Antichrist today now is alive. Bible gives me the authority to tell you where he's coming from. He's coming from Madrid, Spain. I say it again. He's coming from Madrid, Spain. He's 53 years old now. 53 years old. His name is King Felipe. The King of Spain is the Antichrist. He's alive, and he is considered as being the King of Jerusalem. But he's been behind the shield because he won't be revealed to the world till the rapture of the church. Because those that study the Bible, those that pray and seek God's will, those that pray and say, Lord, give me the revelation of the Spirit of God in your word, guess what? God will give it to you, and you will be able to identify this man if you are studious in the word of God. And so this man called Felipe, he stands 6'6", knows 10 different languages, been in 4 military branches. He's married, and he's got 2 daughters. So he's got a well outstanding portfolio. I guess that's the way you say it. But he's outstanding to the Spanish people, and he's outstanding to the Jewish people. the Jews was in love with his father, and his father was named what? Juan Carlos. Juan Carlos was born in Rome. Juan Carlos begot King Felipe, and King Felipe took the throne in 2014 in Spain, because his father was too old, and he had been a lot of discrepancy was going on in the king, Juan Carlos. And so he gave it to his son. And now his son is in power and in conference with the Pope. The Pope in the Bible represents the Vatican and the world church. You hear what I said? He represents the world church. The Pope and King Felipe are shaking hands with each other right now. King Felipe belongs. Get me now. Listen to what I'm saying. He belongs to the world secret society called the Illuminati. He's an Illuminati. He's a Satan worshiper. Come on now. You got to study it. He's a Satan worshiper. And he's in cahoots with all the secret societies worldwide known. And here are some secret societies that I'm going to name off for you. There's one called Freemasonry. There's another one called Octopus Deus. There's one that's called the New Age Movement, the United Nations, the Club of Rome, the Mohemian Grove, the Knight Templars, the Skull and Bone, the Illuminatis, the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergs, the European Union, the Majestic 12, the Jesuits. There's a lot of secret society that's under, listen, and over, and under the influence of satanic rituals, diabolical rituals. What do? They offer babies and drink their blood and discriminate. They love child pornography. They love homosexual. They love lesbianism. They have meetings in the Bohemian Grove. Good God Almighty. Now, you see, people don't know this. They don't know this. California, a 2,000-acre farm where these men go out there and what? Do all kind of abomination. And guess what? The President of the United States is affiliated with the Illuminati, and the people don't know it. They're going under the disguise, of being righteous. They're going under the disguise as being patriotic. They're going under the disguise as being men of with great characteristics. But they're lying to you, because the devil is the deceiver. And he deceived the world by undercover secret societies. And the world is trying to tell us, amen, join these secret societies and you'll get an enlightenment. But they tell me the devil said, and the scripture said, that the devil is a transformed, illuminated light, and he can take corrupt men and transform them into false preachers, false ministers, false dictators, all false. So when this Antichrist comes, he's going to be able to do the work of the devil and deceive the world and believe it to the Jewish people that he is Jesus Christ. Woo! Jesus Christ will not come to this earth until at the end of the tribulation period. So we've seen the white horse. Jesus Christ going to open the first seal and a white horse comes out. And a bow was in his hand, diplomacy, and a crown was given unto him. They're going to crown him in the middle of the tribulation as being God Almighty. You got to understand this now. They're going to crown him as being God Almighty, because in the middle of the tribulation, the 3.5 years in the middle, the Antichrist is going to be assassinated. And he's going to be assassinated with a bullet to the head. And in prelude, 1963, November, President Kennedy was shot through Dallas, Texas. And President Kennedy was an anti-secret society. He did not like the secret society. He rebuked the secret society. You got to understand this, because the devil is slick. He's unique. He's slicker than oil on glass. And what happened is President Kennedy said, I will reprove and rebuke secret societies if I get president for the second term. And the Illuminati's, the Bilderbergs, the Skull and Bone, and the Knight Templars, and the Knight Club of Rome, and all these wicked societies said, we can't let this man do this. We've got to follow through. We've got to do what the Bible said we would do. And they killed President Kennedy. He shot him with a bullet towards the head. And he didn't get up. A lot of people were looking for Kennedy to get up, but he didn't get up. But the main reason why he got shot was because he was speaking against the secret society, which is an organization of the devil, the raw devil. And let me tell you something. Don't you think you can outsmart the devil? You cannot outsmart the devil. The only way you can outsmart the devil is you got to know Jesus Christ for your personal Savior. If you don't know him, he'll put something on you. He'll blindfold you. Because when the Antichrist do miracles in the front of the TV set and in the internet, the world is going to say, yes, this got to be God Almighty. But what's going to happen, listen to me, what's going to happen in the 13th chapter of Revelation, the Antichrist is going to be assassinated in the middle of the tribulation period. In the middle of the tribulation period, while he lays in the tomb, while he lays in the wait, 3 days he's going to be dead. 3 days he's going to be dead. Dead as a doorknob. But while he's laying dead for 3 days, there's going to be a conflict war. Listen to me. A conflict war in the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter, where Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angel, and they were all cast out to the earth. Now, what I'm saying for those that don't believe and those that do believe, wicked spirits are in the air, have flying vehicles. They are light. They can move without anti-gravitation. They can move fast. They are called, the world call them aliens, but they're not aliens. They're wicked demons. They're devils. They got machines that can fly underneath the water, that can fly in straight path. They can drop down. These are demons, and they're working miracles already in the sky because people have seen these UFOs. And to be a witness for you, I've seen them myself. Out of my lifetime of being on this planet for 76 years, I've seen about five UFOs in my lifetime. Cleveland, Bel Air, Ohio, a couple more other places that I've seen these flying machines, and they're real. And they already been advertised on TV through these space movies. But let me tell you, the devil is getting ready to invade this planet. The devil is. Beelzebub. So when the Antichrist lays in what? He lays in the morgue, and on the third day, Lucifer is cast out of heaven by Michael and all the demons that are in first and second heaven now, because they're working. They're working every day, 24/7. The world is going mad. Folks are killing and murdering and, alcohol, drugs, homosexuality, child pornography, marital domestic violence, and teenagers are killing and raping, and gangsters is in the streets, and folks are gone mad. They hate God. They talk about God. They don't want to hear nothing about the return of Christ. They don't want to hear nothing about the second coming of Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear nothing about the birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they tell me these demons that's working now are going to be cast to the earth. And Michael's going to have the power to cast these demons to the earth. And he's going to cast Lucifer out. He's going to cast the red dragon out. And by casting them out, the devil himself is going to what? Enter into the Antichrist's body. The devil will enter into, incarnate himself into the body of the Antichrist, and the Antichrist will be resurrected from the dead. When he's resurrected from the dead, he will claim that he is God Almighty, and that's what the Revelation says there, and he says a crown was given to him. And then when the crown was given to him, he had power enough to go out and conquer the conquering. Wait a minute, preacher. You mean Satan is going to conquer the civilization that we're living in today? How is he going to conquer it? He's going to conquer it through the mark of the beast. He's going to conquer people's souls through the mark of the beast. He's going to come on the scene and he's going to set a state-of-the-art system. He's going to set up a image of the beast. And the image of the beast in the 13th chapter said, when they mark this man, they're going to say, whoever will not receive the mark on the back of their hands or on their foreheads, they will not be able to buy or sell. He's going out to conquer the conquering. Everybody's all upset about the coronavirus. They want to know how long it's going to last. But I ain't worried about the coronavirus. That's a playpen virus. But the next virus is coming up. It's going to be a virus of condition of the way you want to trust in God or trust in Lucifer. There's a time coming, which is almost here, that Satan is going to have control of the political system. He's going to have control of the religious system. He's going to have control of the economical system. He's going to own everything in the world. He's going to control everything in the world under his system. And his system can be controlled by computer. Computer will be the devil's brainchild. But when the mark of the beast comes, it will be similar like the coronavirus, because now the world is saying that if you don't have a shot, come on now, if you don't have a shot, you will not be able to go to work. You won't be able to go to the grocery store. You won't be able to come out the house. You won't be able to do your daily chores if you don't receive the shot. And the people are saying, I got my shot. Well, if you got your shot, I can't say nothing because I'm not going to get mine. I ain't putting that mess in my body. My body is holy. And what they got in there, I don't know what they got in that shot. They got something in there that Bill Gates dreamed up. And that's what he wanted. Bill Gates wants to annihilate and get rid of a certain number of population of the earth so he can start off on a new thing, saying that he only wants about 3 billion people on the earth to start out, because he done bought up all the land. These Illuminatis, they done bought up all the land so he can get rid of the farmers and get his own food. Illuminatis want to rule the world, because Illuminati is satanic. It's the devil organization that's planning to brand people, to get them to worship him. The Bible says that the Antichrist, the beast, will put out a law, executive law, that whoever wants to buy or sell, come on, y'all, talk to me. Whoever wants to buy or sell, if you want to buy and sell, you will have to receive this mark. If you refuse to receive the mark, you will not be able to buy or sell. Plus, you will be put in prison or you will be killed because you will not worship the beast, because he's got you in the palm of his hand, just like he tried to take Jesus on the top of the mount of temptation and tell him, Jesus Christ, this is the devil, Illuminati. That's what he told Jesus. And now look, I'll give you all the kingdom if you will fall down and worship me. And the devil is telling the world, I will give you permission to buy and sell if you receive the mark of the beast. If you receive the mark of the beast, you will be under the influence totally. The devil will have your soul forever. He got you because you received the mark and you are worshiping the devil. You're worshiping Satan. You have bowed down to him because he sold your soul to the devil. And that's what Hollywood is doing now. Movie stars, young people are selling their souls to get rich, selling the soul to survive. And those that get the mark will never, never, never be able to receive Christ in their life because they have traded their soul for a mess of pottage. And so now the coronavirus is a tip-off. It's a tip-off. It's a gimmick. It was planted and God permitted it. Why? Because men will not turn to him. So what you don't want Christ, God said, I'm going to offer this to Satan. Satan said, I'm going to offer you something. I'll give you all the riches of the world if you will fall down and worship me. And the world is going to do it. The world is going to do it. Read Revelation 13 chapter. It says, and all the world will wonder after the beast. Majority of the world will wonder after the beast. Church folks, occults, all kinds of denominations will wonder after the beast. All kinds of occults will wonder after the beast. False religions will wonder after the beast under the influence of the Antichrist selling souls. He said, I want to buy your soul. And people today are selling their souls. This will happen in the middle of the tribulation. The church is still in heaven. And since the church is still in heaven, God is still bringing judgment upon the church, upon the world church. But when the rapture of the church occurs, God is not going to leave the world hopeless because the church is gone. God is going to bring the Jews back into a job that they got to do. They got to do this job. And this job is found in the 7th chapter of Revelation. The 7th chapter of Revelation, we find that John saw a number that no man could number, and he wanted to know who are these 144,000. 144,000 Jewish men. We be sealed by the Spirit of God to preach the gospel for the first 3.5 years. They're going to preach that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and that he's coming back again to get a, what? He's coming back again to set up his millennial kingdom. How close are we? We're so close that the temple that the Jews are planning to build is making preparations now to get on the Temple Mount. The temple that the Jews are planning to build. They are preparing two red heifers to sacrifice for the purification of the temple. The temple has to be built before the Antichrist can sit in it. And the Antichrist will sit in it because he's alive today and he's waiting for the proper time to sit in it. Who said that he was going to sit in it? Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul said he's going to sit in it. And Apostle Paul said in the book of Thessalonians, it says this, good God Almighty, in the 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, the 3rd verse, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away. The church is falling away. Church that I'm talking about will be in heaven, but this here world church will be falling away, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And this son of perdition is the devil. And the devil has that same attitude that he had in the book of Isaiah. And in the book of Isaiah, this is what the devil said he's going to do. He said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something. But what did he do, preacher? In the 14th chapter of Isaiah, he said, I'm going to do this. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the naked, weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mountain of the congregation. I will sit in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be what? Like the Most High God. And here he is in the book of 2 Thessalonians. Here's what he said on earth. In the 4th verse, he said, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God? This same old demon, same old devil in Isaiah, here he is in the temple. And this is what he said in the temple, that I oppose and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. There he is, temple that the Jews are getting ready to build within the next year and a half, maybe less than that. If they build it, they're not building it for a picnic. They're building to offer sacrifices and offerings, and the Antichrist will give them the okay. And when the Antichrist give them the okay, they're going to believe that he is Jesus Christ. And he's not Jesus Christ. And they're going to welcome him. And the world at this time will be getting ready and be starting off the tribulation period. How close are we? I'm just guessing. I'm just saying this. Looks like to me maybe a year and a half. Maybe another year. Or maybe this year. But it is so close. It is so close that I don't know, ain't no other prophecy left other than the prophecies from the sixth chapter of Revelation to the 22nd chapter. There's nothing else, hardly, because all the wars are being done. Everything is being fulfilled as it was in the days of Noah. But this is the next big thing that's coming on the scene, is the two red heifers and the Ark of the Covenant and the priesthoods and the temple, holies of holies. The Jews are preparing real, real heavy. This is what they want. They got to have the temple. Because the temple was instituted back there by Mount Sinai when the Jews were in tents. And they moved from tents to Solomon's temple. That temple was burned down. They rebuilt the temple. That temple was burned down. Now they don't have a temple. They haven't had a temple since 70 AD. And so now for them to conceive that this Christ is the true Christ, they're going to build a temple just for him, but they don't realize that he is going to he's going to degrade the Jewish people and set in the temple himself. And when he set in that temple himself, he's going to claim that he is God Almighty because of the resurrection that he done like it's never been done by Lucifer or by the devil ever since he was created. But he have done a lot of miracles. Demons have, but this is one miracle that will do what? It will deceive the whole world. The whole world will actually believe that this man is God Almighty. And he's going to force worship on people by giving them a mark on their forehead or on the back of their hands. And all the Illuminatis and all the secret societies has already got things planned to do an execution during the tribulation period. All the presidents just about are preparing to do an execution up on the world, including America. A lot of people don't know that Barack Obama is an agent of the devil. What did Barack Obama that a lot of people don't know he did? Well, number one, he said this verbally. He said, America is not a Christian nation. Well, he's a liar there. And then he marked the life of Jesus Christ. He marked it. And then he made an executive order when he was president to go down into Mississippi and Alabama and open up the army bases so that I can bring some guillotines to the United States of America. And guess what? The guillotines are in America right now. He instituted the FEMA camps. He instituted the coffins that they're going to put dead bodies in after they start beheading here in America. It's coming. The church won't be here. It'll be the tribulation saints. But God is going to send 144,000. 144,000 is going to come from the Jewish nation. And to tell me, 12,000 from each tribe. 12,000 from each tribe. Look here. There's going to be 12,000 from the tribe of Judah. 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Nephilim, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin. These evangelists are going to preach the first 3.5 years after the church is gone. Good God Almighty. One morning! Morning, noon, and night. The trumps are going to blow, and when they blow, the rapture of the church is going to occur. And when the rapture of church is going to occur, immediately after the Antichrist is going to rise, God's going to seal 144,000 Jews. They're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. They're going to tell the world that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and that he's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. He's going to preach. Yes, he is. He's going to preach January, February, March, April, May, and June, July, August, September, October, and November and December for 3.5 years. It's going to be televised. And after the 3.5 years over, after the 3.5 years old, there's going to be a great multitude that accept Jesus Christ after the rapture of the church. These are called the tribulation saints. The tribulation saints will go through the great tribulation because they're going to be able to witness for the Lord. They're going to be able to stand up against the devil. They're going to be able to get their heads beheaded because they're not going to bow down to the mark of the beast. And those that bow down to the mark of the beast is because they didn't listen. They didn't listen to the preacher that preached it about Revelation, because Revelation is going to be hell on earth. It's going to be a time of trouble like never been before. Men are going to betray men, and women are going to betray women, and men are going to be at a slaughterhouse. Good God Almighty. And they tell me those that accept him, they're going to be a number that no man can number. And John asked the question, who are these and where did they come from? He said, these are they that came through great trials and tribulation. These are the tribulation saints that came through the tribulation period. No church, no church will go the tribulation period. The whole church is going to be raptured up. And when I say the whole church, all born again believer, washed, Holy Ghost filled people who love the Lord, working for the Lord, admire the Lord, trust in the Lord, lean on the Lord. Men who have given their life to Christ will be caught up. Young boys and girls that give their life to Christ will be caught up. And there we will be with the Lord. The 144,000 will preach 3.5 years, 4. 1,260 days, 42 months. They're going to tell this earth and turn the earth upside down. And in the middle of the tribulation, the mark of the beast will arise. And when the mark of the beast arises and the 144,000 get through with their mission, the two witnesses are going to come. And these two witnesses have power enough to shut up heaven and power enough to cause it not to rain for 3.5 years and power enough to turn water to blood. Only two men in the Bible had that kind of power. And that was Moses and Elijah. He's coming back and preach the last 3.5 years of the gospel of the kingdom. And it's going to make the whole world mad. They didn't want to slay them. But they can't slay them until they fulfill the 3.5 years. And after the 3.5 years are done, they are going to be slain in the streets of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, and the cameras and the ABC and the NBC and every news network will cover this great phenomenon. And when they slay them, they're going to lay in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days. And on the third, after 3.5 days, they're going to be resurrected from heaven and go to heaven. And then Jesus Christ will literally split the sky open from east to west. And Jesus Christ is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the church backing him up. The church is